Well, good afternoon. Hey, good afternoon. We're in Texas here, so praise the Lord. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Gabriel Jankulovic. I'm not going to ask you how to spell that today, but trust me, it's a long name with quite a bit of history. I am from Romania. And I can't get rid of this accent. I've been trying since 1996 to perfect my Texans. I can say howdy, partner, and I can say I'm fixing too, but that's just my very best there. So thank you for bearing with me. I'm also a minister in the missions office. I'm a minister of assimilations. So I'm looking, we're looking on how do we implement, how do we get new attendees who comes to our church, how do we integrate them in the life of the church? And that's what I have been doing this since January, and it's been a great experience. I have with me Will Taylor, who's been one of my mentors there right now, and just learning how we can get people excited about Jesus. And that's what I'm here to talk about. If you don't mind, we're going to start with a word of prayer. We're just going to dive in the scriptures. Today, I want to speak from Romans 5, Romans chapter 5, starting from verse 3 all the way to 5. And we'll just work our way through. We're going to talk about it. But I think before we mess up everything, we need to ask God's guidance as he come and he just takes over. And I truly, my heart today is not just to hear from me, but to hear from the Lord, and that God would speak to us, including me. So let's pray as we start. Father God, I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, Lord, to stand before these wonderful men and women who are here in downtown, Lord, and I thank you so much, Lord, that you're using them in the marketplace, and you're using their hands, you're using their minds, Lord, to just get the gospel to the nations, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that as we dive into your word this afternoon, Lord, I pray that we will learn and that we would apply to our lives, that this is just not going to be knowledge to our heads, but that it will be meat to our hearts, to where we go, and we spread the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject of today's talk is suffering. It's not very popular to talk about suffering. Suffering is something that is you probably hear in different countries, in poor countries, in different cultures. But when you take suffering, it's a subject that sometimes we just try to avoid. It's amazing how the subject of suffering even penetrates to our prayers. When we start to open up our mouths and we start to talk with the Lord, we just, our prayers become, oh Lord, if you can just help me so I just not go through suffering, if I can just avoid the suffering, if I can just go through my daily routine and just be successful in what I need to do, I'll just be okay. But I don't think that that's the best way to pray. And for our sake and for our prayer life, we need to understand what suffering is. And so that's why I want to spend a little bit of time in Romans 5, 3 through 5. Now, I am a seminary graduate, and I love to get into the scriptures, but I often think that sometimes the knowledge that we have needs to be applied in our daily life. And what I'm about to tell you is not to glorify or magnify the story of my life, but rather to share what God has done in my life as he has taught me something about suffering. I'm only 40 years old. I know I have a lot more years to learn, and some of you in the room have probably gone through much more suffering than I have gone. But I was raised in Romania under Ceausescu, who was a dictator and a communist dictator that for 45 years have just destroyed the fiber of the character of what Romania was. I've seen the Secret Service knocking on our doors and going in and just rummaging through the house and trying to look for anything to put my father in the prison. I've seen my mom cried many times, asking when the affliction that was imposed upon the Christian community would be lifted. And I also have seen the change to where Romania was changed from communism to more of a Western thinking. The Bible says in Romans 5, starting with verse 3, "But we rejoice in our suffering." But we rejoice in our sufferings. Richard Wurmbrand was a philosopher. He was also a pastor, a Lutheran pastor in Romania. Voice of the Martyrs has been featuring him many, many years. And Richard Wurmbrand spent 20 years in Romanian prisons in communism. And he was telling, and when communism came down, they opened the door and they were expecting to see these men and women that have lost their minds in prison. To their curiosity, they wanted to know, who are these men and women? They opened the prison doors and they found the most kind, the most sweetest people, the most compassionate, the most loving, the most highly intellectual, the most versatile in their knowledge, and they couldn't understand how were they able to cultivate that within the walls of the prisons. Richard Wurmbrand would tell us that they learned Morse code, and they were doing prayers through the walls of the prison, although they were forced to be in one cell all by themselves. And people who entered in the prisons, if once they were atheists, if once they didn't know God, now they learned the scriptures to brothers and sisters like Richard Wurmbrand. He would tell us about the suffering that was going on in Romania. He said, "Let me tell you, son, what happened in Romania in prisons, it's inimaginable. I can't even talk about it." He said, "But we've learned to rejoice in our suffering. That's what got us through." And he tells us a story. He said, "I remember that the communists would line us up and they will ask us, 'If you are a Christian, I need you to take one step forward.' And once they took a step forward, the communists would come and they would just beat them up and they would strip them and just inimaginable hurt. Then they would take them back in line, and they would ask, 'If you are a Jew, I need you to take a step forward.' And they would take a step forward, and they would do the same thing for the Jews." Well, Richard Wurmbrand was a Christian, but he was also a Jew. So he said, for a long time, I would just get double the portion of them beating me up. Until one day I figure it out. When they said to us, "If you're a Christian, take a step forward," he said, "Well, I'm a Jew, so maybe I just need for my time to get beat up as I'm a Jew." And then when they would say, "If you're a Jew, take a step forward," "Well, I'm a Christian, so maybe I need to wait for the time." So that way, he figured out a way to rejoice in his suffering. Many, many stories of people through this journey in communism to rejoice in their suffering. And Paul understood, the person who has spent the time in prison understood what rejoicing in their suffering meant. But the scripture doesn't stop there. It says, "But we rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance." As I grew up in Romania, after 1989, that the communism came down, my dad took up he was a pastor in a congregation that were deaf people, sign language. Missionaries from America came, and they came, and there were 100 and some deaf people. They heard the gospel, and they yield to the Lord's calling. The missionaries left. just like they always do. They come for a few days and then they leave, and they were left with all these deaf people who came to the Lord. So my dad started working with the deaf people. The problem was he didn't know any sign language. So he said to me, son, I need you to step up. I need you to translate for me. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know any sign language. Go and learn. It took me 2 weeks to go and learn in sign language. I was back in the church and I was signing for my dad. It's the worst possible accommodation to work for your dad. He's a pastor and you disagree with every word that's coming out of his mouth. But the Lord was just raising up, and he was raising up a young man to understand what the church affair was. And in this time, the Lord was doing some growing up in my life. I received a scholarship to come to the United States, and sure enough, the scholarship was in a deaf college in Big Spring, a junior college in Big Spring, Texas, and I started to get integrated and start to learn the American Sign Language. I only came with $50 in my pocket. It took my dad a month to get this $50. He put him in my pocket. He said to me, son, you're going to America. God is going to have to take care of you. And whatever he's going to do with this money, just God bless you. And so now I was 19 years old. I was on a plane going to Chicago O'Hare, where I need to change the planes and go to Dallas-Fort Worth. And I was in a plane. I couldn't believe it. I was going to a different country. This was unimaginable just a few years before, when the communists told me that we'll be locked up forever. I remember that the lady tried to speak to me. I couldn't speak any English. I only knew, God bless you, have a nice day, and give me a break. That's all I knew as far as English. And I said, I remember in school, they wanted to teach me English. I said, I don't need it. I'll never use it. Teach me Russian. That's what I need to learn. That's the future of Romania. So I was in a plane, and this lady kept wanting to feed me. She didn't understand. I only had $50 in my pocket. I couldn't afford to pay for what was given in the plane. Well, later they explained that it was for free, but I didn't know. So I get to Chicago O'Hare, and I get out, and my sponsor they give me a room at the Hilton Hotel in Chicago O'Hare, at the Hilton, right there. And somebody's taking me. I have an escort, somebody who had my name. They have my name spell, and they take me to this hotel. And I'm trying to speak a little French. I'm trying to get, they couldn't understand. I tried to sign. They couldn't understand. And all of a sudden, the lady pulls a credit card, and she's trying to give it to me. My dad told me not to get a credit card. Americans are in debt with credit cards, and I can't afford to get this. I don't know what to do. So this guy comes. He's all dressed in red, and he has a funny hat, and he looks like a soldier to me, but he has white gloves, and he takes the credit card. He takes my little bag, and now he's taking me to my room. And sure enough, he takes the credit card. He puts it in the door, and the door opens. I get in the room, and I say, oh, my gosh. I see all the Chicago O'Hare, all the sky. Everything, the city, the lights. I've never seen anything like that. I was in a small town in Romania. That never fathomed my mind. So now I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, God, what have you done to me? What am I doing here? Where does God bless you, have a nice day, and give me a break takes me, Lord? And I was reminded of the scripture that says, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Sure enough, the next day, somebody took me from the gate, because you got to change gates. So they took me to Dallas-Fort Worth. And my sponsor said, hey, welcome to America. And we sponsor several students. All of them were bright, straight-A students. And you need to get your driver license. I'm like, what? I can't even read. I don't know what I'm doing. What is this? Why are they doing this to me? I couldn't even say that to him. So sure enough, they take me to DPS. They put me in a chair, and they give me a computer. I'm thinking, they're out of their mind. So I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just putting my finger. I'm just punching and whatever. I go to the counter. The lady says something to me. I said, I know. I failed. I know. They give me a paper. I look at it. I read it. I, yep. Here it is, I failed. I take it home, and the sponsor says to me, congratulations. I said, well, for what? You pass. I was like, oh my God, how could that be? How, this is impossible. But the Lord knew. God knows. The Lord knew. I basically, so that was the first part. Fine, I passed that. The second part was for me to drive in the United States. I took every single curve, you know, all the curves there. Like I was going, if somebody could have taken a video of that, and then they let me drove their kids through all this. What was going though in my heart was not funny. This to me, America, as I may have thought it to be, was a very scary place for me to change from my culture to this culture. And truly, it was just as scary as when those Secret Service police guys would come and knock on my door. I transferred that to the same emotion, the same thing of what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So I don't know what your fears are today. I don't know what your suffering is, but the Bible says, but we rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So sure enough, after 4 years of being in the United States, I kind of got myself acquainted. I started to speak the language a little better, and I felt like, you know, I'm an accomplished young man, and I started going to school, and I was finishing whatever I was doing in Big Spring, and they needed a pastor for the deaf. The gospel spread so much that now they needed somebody to minister. So they, you know, they prayed over it and they said, Gabriel, you need to be the pastor. You don't speak quite good English, but your sign language is fine. So fine. So, and I'm telling you, we started that deaf church with around 50 people, and it was in a Baptist church, and man, we were worshiping the Lord. It was crazy. I mean, deaf people can get away with anything. We're basically dancing in the church and just worshiping God, and it was amazing what God has done. And the Lord has worked in my heart, and then the pastor says, Gabriel, you need to go to Southern Baptist Convention for the Deaf and get some more training, get to meet people. I said, I don't want to go. I'm so sick and tired of religion. I only been 4 years in America to figure out that just because people in the United States have their money and it says in God we trust, they're liars. It's not true. Fine, if that's what I need to do, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character. So the Lord has to work on my character, I guess. So sure enough, I go to the Southern Baptist Convention for the Deaf. I was young. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just pastoring my dancing church, you know, in a Baptist church, and all excited and all ready to get, and the church was growing like crazy. So I go there, and sure enough, it's just my expectation, you know, a bunch of dignified people, and that was my perception there. If I would go back there, I probably fit right in. But I was just, Lord, why you have me here? I would rather go back and work. And this beautiful lady was walking down, and it was a done deal for me. I saw her, and I said, Lord, now I know why you brought me here. I've been married 15 years with this lady. And I couldn't believe, because she said she was deaf, but she spoke so well. She was eloquent, and I even went behind her, and I did this just to make sure that she can't hear. And she couldn't hear. She had some powerful hearing aids, but I was married to her, and she was just entering into med school, and as she was going to med school, she applied for her residency program, and now we were married for we just got married. It was 2002, and we had our wedding, and the next day we were flying to Rochester, New York, and the next day she started working, and I wouldn't see her for another 2 or 3 months, and she would, and so I would go and bring her coffee, and we would be in church, and I would sign to her, and I asked her, I said, Angela, what makes you such a special person? You're so wonderful. I love you so much, but what is it? And she said to me, Gabriel, there's value in suffering. There's value in people making fun of you. There's value in having to do the mundane, the task that nobody wants to do them. Calling your clients, even those ones that are obnoxious. There's value in grinding it. But we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. She finished her residency. I did my master's in education in Rochester, New York, and we moved back to Texas, and she was doing a fellowship now in Galveston at UTMB, and she said to me, Gabriel, you need to go to seminary. You crazy? I don't want to go to seminary. All my colleagues, all the friends I have, they're all messed up. All the people I know, they went to seminary. She said, you know, Gabriel, the Lord has something to teach you there. And probably the number one thing is humility. You need to go and just learn. See how God's word would, how what are the inner workings of that? And so, sure enough, I signed up and I went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and went through, and I found some amazing people, professors. They love the Lord. They're not all like all them jokers walking around. And they just pour out just God's word into my life. It just revolutionized my thought process. And I remember because, you know, actually, to be quite frank with you, when I went there, I was wanting to get my doctorate. I already have my master in education, but I met with the dean, and I asked the dean, I said, you know, I know how to teach. I just don't know what to teach. He said, son, you just got to do it all over. You know, you got to go. So I did the MDiv, and then the professors said to me, Biblical languages, Gabriel. And I went to HBU and did a little more biblical languages, and it was hard. It was hard. I had to stay overnight and just work and parse Greek and Hebrew. I can't even speak English very well. But we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of God's love poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. I'm sitting in a chair waiting for my wife for the first time. She just got a cochlear implant, and now they're going to turn it on. I can't wait. I don't have to sign to her all these many years. When the baby would cry at 3 o'clock in the morning, I had to go pick her up and get her and all this. Every single night, they're going to turn it on. And sure enough, the doctor turns on the hearing, the new cochlear implants. And I just see a tear on her eyes. And she hears the air conditioning. I dropped the key, and all of a sudden she started crying. She said, Gabriel, you don't know how many keys I lost in my life. I couldn't hear. And I'm holding her. I'm saying, that's amazing. All these years that you were suffering and you were going through, and now you can hear, and that's amazing. So I'm putting her in front of the piano because she's learned how to play piano without hearing. On the notes, so I'm putting her, and I'm all emotional. I said, come on, play some. So she start playing, just beautiful on the piano, just playing. And all of a sudden, she turns around. I'm going, what do you think, honey? This is horrible. I'm like, what do you mean? That's not what I imagine music to be. But we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of God's love poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. My time, it's gone. But before it's gone, I want to ask you, what is your suffering? What are you dealing with? What is your struggle? What is your grind? What are the uncomfortable things that you are? Now, before I end, as I pastor, my wife started her own private practice, and in 2012, I became the office manager. So I went from the church world back into the marketplace because I was interested to know how you guys think. How do you guys, I know how church people think, but how is it that, how you guys think? So I went back to the marketplace. I became the office manager, and I was just in the medical field, just very involved. I know, I can tell you anything. I've learned more about women healthcare than I ever could learn. Insurance and everything. The thing that I learned the most is how much you can be effective in the marketplace to spread the gospel. The entire office is a church with hurting people, with people that suffer. They're just looking for someone that suffers well. So my question to you is, what is your gift of suffering? What is your thing that every day you just hate even thinking about it? That you're sweating when you're thinking about your uncomfortable and your situation that are just most uncomfortable to you. The Bible says that in our weakness, the Lord uses our weakness to glorify Himself. And when you are the most uncomfortable, God will show up in your life. What is your uncomfortableness? What is your suffering? My brothers and my sisters, I plead with you, don't run away from it. Run towards it. Because that's God's way to purify your heart and my heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the richness of your word. I thank you, Lord, that we ought to be imitators of you. And what a better picture than the picture on the cross, crucified between the earth and heaven, stripped, being made ashamed. Lord, I pray that we would take that picture and use it in our daily life as a reminder that we are the same. Stripped from power, from arrogance, from anything that displeases you, O Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to minister this afternoon. And I pray that these words will not be merely words of encouragement, which is great, but it will be transforming. And even today, that you would put in our mind a person, a task, something, Lord, that would allow us to persevere, because we know that suffering can be joyful when we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of God's love poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He had given to us. Amen.